Many of you know Kelly, who is our missionary with her husband Andre to Romania. And Kelly comes from a conservative Christian home, and you know the family, many of you do. And Kelly went to a Pentecostal church on one occasion, and she was listening to the service, and they asked, you know, if anybody wants prayer for a special filling of the Holy Spirit, an anointing upon your life for power and ministry, come forward. And so she did. She came forward, she listened and thought, I want that. I want a special anointing and filling of the Holy Spirit. And so she went forward and she stood there, and a dozen people or so got around her, started praying for her, and they started telling her to speak in tongues. Started saying, just speak in tongues. Just whatever comes to your mind, speak. Just have it come out of your mind. It doesn't need to make sense. Just have whatever comes to your mind, just come out of your mouth. And she stayed there, and they kept praying and praying. And it was literally like 10, 15 minutes going by. And she said, I didn't know what to do. I just wanted prayer for a special filling. And she said, I was so scared. I'm looking and I'm surrounded and I can't get out. I can't get out of all of the people that have surrounded me. And she said, I didn't know what to do. And they were praying. And I just thought, stop, drop, and roll. That's what you do. And so she fell to the ground. And she started to try to get out between their legs to get out of her predicament. And they assumed at this point that she's demon-possessed. And so they start saying, free her, you know, and trying to cast the demons out from our young missionary. And she finally made her way through and was able to escape, but she was traumatized by the experience. And since then, we've referred to her as Legion most of the time. But this morning, we're going to talk about what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk specifically about how it is that this is to occur in our lives. And so we look at our text before us this morning in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. And we're going to read it in context and focus on the last portion of the text. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are a light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, as we've been going through our study in the book, or in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, we're looking specifically at the fact that it's the Holy Spirit who has regenerated us, changed us, taken us who were dead in our sins and our trespasses, and He has made us alive in Christ. It's the Holy Spirit who has done that. And as believers, we're so thankful for God and what He has done in our hearts, and we know the hardness of our hearts, and we know that Scripture tells us that there's none that seek after Him, and yet we've seen that we have been drawn specifically by the Holy Spirit into this place of salvation. He changed us. He regenerated us. We once were in darkness, but now we're in the light. And so we see here, Paul says, so walk as children of light. There should be a change that occurs in our lives. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And then he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed and made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly or carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so he shifts to tell us here, see that you walk carefully. You as believers here this morning, God would tell us, see that you walk carefully, circumspectly, carefully. Not as fools, but wise. No one wants to be a fool. No one wants to be about their Christian life and be walking in a way where you'd be categorized as you're walking in a way that's just foolish. God says, no, walk carefully. Not as someone that's a fool, but walk as somebody that is wise. And as Christians, we want wisdom. We want to be in God's will. We want to be exactly where He would have us to be, with a strong walk that's with Him. He says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be unwise as far as just going about your walk and walking in a way that's like a fool, but understand specifically what the will of the Lord is. And how do we know that? How do we know the will of the Lord? It's in Scripture. We know what is right. We know how we ought to walk because the Bible is those words that are given specifically from the Holy Spirit, doctrine that's given to us, teaching that's given to us, that enables us to know exactly what it would be that God desires for us to know and how to walk the Christian life. And how to know Him, and how to know ourselves, and how we ought to think. It's God's Word that teaches us this. And He says, walk carefully and understand what the will of the Lord is. Therefore, as it goes on, He says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is where we come to this particular teaching this morning as far as what is it to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God tells us don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why would somebody desire to get drunk? Well, a lot of times people get drunk because they think it's that which is going to make them happy. They get drunk because they're having all the pressure at work, or they have pressures in their life outside of that, or they're trying to deal with sorrow, or they're trying to deal with something else, and so they look and they turn towards alcohol. And they go towards that to try to in some way bring some kind of numbness, to in some way bring some kind of happiness. And God would tell us specifically, don't be drunk. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's an alternative to being drunk with wine. There's an alternative to be drunk with drugs or with materialism or with sexual lust. Don't be drunk with these things. Don't be drunk with the things of the world that you think might be satisfying to you, that might bring you joy, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. When somebody's drunk, if you've ever seen somebody drunk, you know that it affects the way that they talk. The words that come out of their mouth, being drunk affects the words that come out of their mouth. They may become angry more frequently. They may say things that they never otherwise would have said. It affects the way that they walk. If you've ever seen somebody that's drunk, they walk and they can't walk in a straight line. I was in Africa and there was a guy riding his bike and he crashed in a way that I've never seen anybody crash like that. And we pulled up next to him and the doctor looked at him and he said, he's drunk. And our heart went out to him, but the doctor said, we have to keep going. And the reason why was because he said a lot of times people will do something like that, and they try to make you stop, and then they ambush the vehicle. And he looked, and he said, I think he's okay. He's just drunk. He said, if he's there later on, we'll see if we'll be there to help him. But I think he's drunk, and it makes it too insecure for us to stop right now. And I looked, and I thought, he couldn't ride a bike because of the alcohol that was within him. And you look and you think, how sad is it to see somebody in that state, but it affects their walk, it affects how they move. It affects their emotions. It affects everything within them as far as when you're drunk, you have no ability to control certain things. You're under the influence, we're told. And so you look at the contrast and God says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have it be that the Holy Spirit is that which affects everything inside you, the way that you talk. The way that you walk, your emotions, your thoughts, your discernment, your joy. Have it be that the Holy Spirit affects all of these things. Go after Him. Be filled with the Holy Spirit rather than be filled with the junk that is there in the world. And so it's a commandment that's given here. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray this morning that there would be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon each one of us. I would hope that you would pray with me and pray for our church that way and pray for yourself individually that way. As far as God, I want your Holy Spirit to pour out upon me in such a way that, as this text tells us, I want to be filled. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want it to affect my life. I want Him to affect my life. I want Him to affect the way that I think. I want Him to affect my emotions. I want the Holy Spirit to affect my speech on a daily basis. I want the Holy Spirit to affect my boldness in witnessing. My boldness in sharing the gospel. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit to where there's a passion that's inside of me to proclaim Christ and Him crucified. To be filled with the Holy Spirit to have victory over sin. You may be here this morning saying, I'm just struggling with sin. And I would pray that your heart would be such that you listen and say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As you see Jesus go into the wilderness for 40 days and the temptations that are going to come upon Him, it tells us, and He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Praying, God, fill me with You to where I have victory and strength over sin. Be filled with the Holy Spirit that You would have a peace that would pass all understanding. The fruit of the Spirit. Peace being one of the fruit that come from the Holy Spirit. I want to be so filled that the anxiety goes away and I'm resting and I'm trusting and I'm depending upon Him. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit in such a way that there's joy that's in my life. Joy. Not coming from materialism, not coming from relationships, not coming from circumstances, not coming from wine, not coming from drugs, not coming from sexual immorality, not coming from any of those things, but looking and saying, I want to be filled with Him. I want to be so satisfied with Him that the things of this world grow strangely dim. Filled with the Holy Spirit to where I'm satisfied. I feasted upon Him to where there's nothing else in all the world that I desire besides Him. God, fill me with Your Holy Spirit in such a way that I desire You above all things. You are supreme. You have preeminence over everything else that's there. Joy. You can have momentary pleasure from some of the things that are in this world. But not joy. Not joy. The Bible tells us that we could have joy inexpressible and full of glory. Better than anybody could ever imagine. And it is found in Him. It's found in Christ. I pray that the Holy Spirit would fill us in such a way that there's passion in our worship. Bible tells us that we're to worship in spirit and in truth. Not to be seen by people, but we're genuinely in our hearts. We are so satisfied with Him that the natural response is to praise Him, to exalt Him, to honor Him, to worship Him with everything that's within us. So God tells us, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, it affects you. It affects your worship. It affects your emotions. It affects every aspect of your lives. Be filled with the Holy Spirit in such a way that there's the fruit of the Spirit that's pouring out of our lives. It's not in our own strength. It's not in any kind of righteousness that we muster up within ourselves. But it's God that has filled us to the point where there's fruit that's coming out of our lives because it is Him who is in control. It's Him that is influencing us. It's Him that is working in our hearts and in our minds, and it's having an impact on us. You want wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from Him. It comes from God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit to where it affects the way that we think, and we're able to say, God, I need to make a major decision right now. Give me wisdom. I need to counsel somebody in this particular situation, and I don't know the right thing to say. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come inside me and just fill me to the point where you give me the words to say in this situation. For me, in a preaching situation, I pray that I'd be filled with the Holy Spirit to where it is God's Word coming forward. Not me. I have no ability to say anything that's going to have some kind of impact on your life. I could preach sermons. I could prepare notes. I could study throughout the week. But there's nothing in me that is able to have an impact on your life apart from the Holy Spirit doing it. That there would be a feeling within me to be able to minister to you to where God knows where you're at and reaches you exactly where you're at and teaches you from Scripture to where it impacts you within the children's ministry or youth ministries, midweek studies, men's fellowship, women's fellowship. I pray that as God's Word goes forward, that those leading would be filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by Him. I pray that the filling of the Holy Spirit would be such that it gives you a sweet assurance of your security in Christ. It influences you in such a way that you're not skittish, panicky. You see people that are on drugs sometimes and they're influenced by them so much, but they're just panicky, they're nervous. It affects them in all kinds of different ways. I pray that the Holy Spirit would fill you in such a way that you are secure and you feel the sweetness of your security in Him because you're looking to the cross and you're looking to what Christ has done, paying for your sins and giving you His righteousness that it would affect you. And I pray that the filling of the Holy Spirit within us would be such that He causes us to long for His Word. Long to study His Word, to commune with Him, to spend time with Him. You come before God in prayer and in study, and you say, God, fill me with your Spirit. Enable me just to long for these words, to understand these words, to long for doctrine, to care about doctrine, to have it have an impact on my life. I want to know these things. I want to know truth. I want to be so rooted and grounded in your Word that it affects me in every part of my being. The way that I talk, the way that I walk, the way that I minister to my wife, or I minister to my husband, or I minister to my kids, or how I am with my friends, or how I am as far as just in my thoughts when I'm by myself. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit to where it has an impact on me. I don't want to be drunk with wine. I don't want that to be that which influences me. I want to be filled with your Spirit to where it has an impact on every area of my life, every corner of my life. To walk in you, to walk carefully in you, not being a fool, not being unwise, but to be wise and to know what the will of the Lord is. I want to be one who thinks biblically and has wisdom that comes from Scripture. and is using the gifts that you've given me for the furtherance of your kingdom and for the edification of the body, for the building up of each one of us here, I want to be a Christian that is walking carefully, filled with you, having fruit come out of my life, but totally and completely in dependence upon him. It's critical for us. You can't muster it up within yourself. You're dependent upon him. God, fill me. Have an impact the way that I talk to my wife. Have an impact the way that I talk to my husband. Have an impact every area of my life. I want you in me more and more. And so that's our prayer. We look and it goes on and it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. It affects how we live if we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit that would make you speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You maybe have been around somebody that was drunk and you heard them singing songs, you know, and they carry on and on. Big difference when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. You're ministering to one another. Singing. Oh, there's joy that's there. Making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Don't you want this? This isn't the kind of Christian life that we want to live. Oh, it affects us to where it's just praise that goes forward. It's just praise. Just singing praise to him. Ministering to one another, but there's joy that's there. There's a filling of the Holy Spirit to know how it is that different people need to be ministered to. Wisdom as far as how we interact. It makes us give thanks. Being filled with the Holy Spirit makes it so that we're giving thanks to God for all things. How else can somebody in the midst of trials give thanks? Being filled with the Holy Spirit makes us see that we're totally dependent upon him, to where when the fruit comes forward out of our lives, we return and say, thanks, and all glory goes to you for what you have done, God. You did it. You did it all. All the glory, all the honor, it all belongs to you. And submitting to one another in the fear of God, reverence that is there, humility that is there. So God would tell us, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at a couple situations in Scripture as far as what happens when those are filled, when God's people are filled with the Holy Spirit. You see Stephen, as he's being martyred, he's being put to death, he's being taken out into the streets to be stoned with rocks being thrown at him. It says that he, being full of the Holy Spirit, in Acts 7:55, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is that which maybe you don't actually see it as he did, as he was about to be put to death. But there's an intimacy, a fellowship with God. A closeness that's there with him. Be filled with the Holy Spirit to where there's intimacy that's there. God, make it so that I'm not in sin and away from you to where you feel distant, but where, oh, there's sweet fellowship that's there. Communion that is there between us and you. In Acts 4:31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. How did it affect them as they were filled with the Holy Spirit? The result was they spoke the word of God with boldness. You may be more on the timid side to where you're looking and say, I don't know how to approach that person, and I don't know how to counsel this person, and I don't, and you're just nervous, and you look and you say, God, just fill me with your Holy Spirit to enable me to speak your word with boldness. I need you to enable me to be able to proclaim the truths that are in Scripture. So for these people, as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke the word of God with boldness. And oftentimes for them, it was going to cost them their lives. And so there is this praying of God, enable me to do this. Fill me. You give me the words to say in this situation. Give me the boldness. In verse 32, it says, now the multitude of those who believed were all of one heart and of one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. It affected how they saw their possessions. As the Holy Spirit came upon them, as the Holy Spirit filled them, they looked and they said, it's not about this belongs to me, but I want to minister to those that are around me. The filling of the Holy Spirit made it so that they were so full and satisfied to where they were able to say, and I want to minister to other people as well. And with great power, they told people of the resurrection of Christ. Boldness that was there, Spirit-filled evangelism that took place, but with complete dependence upon the Holy Spirit. In Acts 4, you see another situation where Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he goes to the Sanhedrin and he preaches the gospel as he's filled with the Holy Spirit. The words that are given to him to preach the gospel are recorded here, but specifically, he's filled with the Holy Spirit and he goes forward to have wisdom and proper counsel and courage to preach the gospel to the Sanhedrin, who is that ruling body that is there and which would intimidate him so much. But you see that God says he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the result was it had an impact. I love that. I love that for me, pastoring a church, it doesn't depend upon me. I love that. How frightening would it be to be a pastor over a congregation and thought that it all depended upon you? To change people's hearts, to affect them, to make it so that they desired God and longed for Him above everything else? No, it's the Holy Spirit. How frightening would it be to be in there and working in children's ministry and trying to teach the kids the truths of God's Word and feeling so unable? If it wasn't that you could go and say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit to be able to know how to minister to the kids exactly where they're at, that it might affect them. Dependency upon God and whatever gift God has given you and saying, it's not about me, it's about Him. God, you do the work. And it doesn't mean that there's not study that takes place. I hear people that say, well, you study for how long? Why do you do like this? It's not Spirit-filled if you study like that. Just go and just talk. You may think I do that, but I don't. I really do. I study. It's important that you look and you say, okay, well, I'm going to study your word and understand these things and think through these things, because I want the Spirit to be working and filling me, but there's a dependence upon God and upon His word in the midst of all of it. Dependency upon Him. So I would venture to say, as a believer here this morning, you're saying, I want that. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to affect my life practically on a daily basis. How are we to be filled with the Spirit? If you want to turn to the other side of your handout, it begins with through faith. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see again in Acts 6, verse 5, and The saying pleased the whole multitude, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. He's full of the Holy Spirit, but he's full of faith as well. It begins with faith. You look, you say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, how big is your view of God this morning? The faith of saying, God, I know you can do all things, and I look in Scripture and I see your greatness. God, give me the faith to be able to look and say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But a gigantic view of God that looks and says, he can do all things. God, I believe that you can do this. I believe that you could affect my life. You could change my life. I believe that you're there as my comforter. You're there as my helper. Holy Spirit, come and just fill me. And you see that they're filled with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through prayer. You pray. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You pray. Look at Luke 11, verse 10. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so you ask, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me, empower me with your Holy Spirit. I want my worship to be such that is filled with you. My service has to be such as filled with you. My life, my speech, everything. God, fill me. Make it so I'm not in a place of being lukewarm, but totally sold out and on fire for you, and I can't get from this place to this place without you filling me and changing me. Through prayer, you ask this morning, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Through submission to his Lordship, Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Or Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so being filled with the Holy Spirit partially is saying, I'm submitting to your Lordship. God, here is my life. I have made it so that my life belonged to me, consumed with me. What I wanted to do. I'm taking my life. It's here. It's a living sacrifice for you. I belong to you. The way that I think, it belongs to you. The things that I take in, it belongs to you. My job, my position, my finances, it all is yours. God, here it is. I'm a living sacrifice for you. I want to be totally in submission to your Lordship. To you. I want to be filled with your word, studying your word, looking to you for counsel. Submission to his Lordship. It's no longer I who live. It's no longer about me, but it's Christ who lives in me. Through dependence upon him. Galatians 3:2. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? The response here is saying, I began with the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who regenerated me. The Spirit is the one who changed me. The Spirit is the one who gave me life when I was dead in my sins and trespasses. I began in the Spirit. How ridiculous and foolish would it be if I'm now looking and saying, and I can do it on my own at this point. Thanks for getting me started. Now it's about me. That's as foolish as it comes. You look and God says, no. Are you that foolish that you began the Spirit and now you think you can do it on your own? And so there's a dependence upon him. You'll hear that preached from pulpits at this church on a regular basis. We want you, through the power of God's Word, which teaches us these things, to depend upon the Holy Spirit. To depend upon Him. You will be so frustrated if you try to live a righteous life in dependence upon your own flesh. Depend upon Him. Depend upon Him. Depend upon Him to depend upon Him. You can't, I can't even depend upon Him by myself. I can't say, okay, I'm gonna give this over to you. And I'm just gonna depend upon you with this. Because I do that, and then a few minutes later I take it back to myself again and I start stressing about it and worrying about it and trying to do it in my own abilities. God, I am depending upon you to depend upon you. You have to bring me back to this place again, so I'm always looking and saying, not I, but you. Not I, but you. I want you to work in me, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. I don't want to be the foolish one. It's trying to do it on my own. Not at all. And then lastly, probably not lastly, but lastly for the sake of this morning, hunger for Him. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is to hunger for your God. Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Are you thirsty this morning? I mean, do you look and you say, I'm in a dry place right now in my Christian life? God would say, hunger for me. I thirst for you. Oh God, you're my God. Early, I'm going to seek you. My soul, it thirsts for you. My flesh, it longs for you. Like as if I were in the desert and I had no water. I want you. I desire you above everything else. And just hungering for Him and then watching Him fill you and satisfy you. It's our God. Come to me. It's a fountain of living water that makes it so you never thirst again. It's our God. In Psalm 42, verse 1, it says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My soul, it thirst for Him. You can picture this deer panting for a creek to be able to drink. It's so thirsty. And the psalmist says, that is how my soul thirsts for you. So I encourage you this morning, if you're here saying, I just want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want it to be where I'm not living a foolish way, but I'm right where God wants me to be. I want to be using the gifts that God's given me that we talked about last week. I want to be using these gifts for the furtherance of the gospel and for the building up of the Christians that are here. I want that. Through faith, through prayer, through submission to His Lordship, through dependence upon Him to do these things, and having a hunger for it. What an awesome, awesome thing it would be if God continues to do a great outpouring of His Holy Spirit upon each person here this morning. What an impact it would have on our community. The gospel going forward, boldness in it, gifts being used, a healthy body. Praise that makes people come through the doors of this church and say, I want that. I never have seen that. They know God in a way that I don't know. And the Holy Spirit works in their hearts and brings them to salvation. What a great thing it would be to be a people filled, satisfied, full of joy in the Holy Spirit. May God do that to us today. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you so much that your Holy Spirit fills us. You tell us to seek that. to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray that the result of you working in us would be psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and boldness in the preaching of the gospel and wisdom that comes forward and the fruit of Spirit that comes out of our lives. May you do that in us. God, help us to be here this morning and to hunger for you above all things. And I pray, Lord, that we would be a congregation who appreciate you, the Holy Spirit, working in us. Thank you for this great salvation that we have. Help us to be those who walk carefully. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.